Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And there is your dagger!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
318! You ready?
Aaron Rodgers here. What is the change that you received that allowed you to say, okay, let's do this?
Trust.
Rodgers sends it out left side. Aaron Jones wide open. Touchdown! You
ready? So it's nice to come out and have a good performance and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, plus 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California. 2 weeks in the National Football League books, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host. Thrilled to have you with us here on NBC Sports on Peacock or Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. Each of those entities, we follow the Dan Patrick Show every day from 12 to 3 Eastern. If you're streaming us live on Odyssey, hello. Also, if you are all listening to us on a Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, attaboy, attagirl is basically what we're saying. And certainly to your program director, smart enough to say, let's get the Rich Eisen Show in your ear gate. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here. Hang with us. The us being me and three other people.
We have names.
My bad. I mean, how are you, Chris Brockman?
Hey, oh, I'm great, Rich.
Mike Del Tufo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich, like Chris.
TJ Jefferson, how are you, brother?
I'm just waiting for the day we get put on in Altoona, Rich. I mean, how do we make this happen?
Well, you're an above the fold man in Altoona. They'll put us on there. Right now, you're still below the fold in that newspaper, right?
Look, man, I'm trying to help you out. Okay.
Just have your people contact people, man. Let's do it.
I am my people. That's the thing.
Well, we're on in Ann Arbor now. It's good times.
Hey.
Yeah. So it's great. You know, go blue to everybody listening to us in the great state of Michigan. I kind of get the sense, I don't know about you, that the Green Bay Packers spotted the rest of the National Football League 6 quarters. You got 6 quarters to get us. I kind of got that sense.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, and somebody, I think, forgot to tell the Packers it's a 17-game season. Yeah. And I think that's maybe the only explanation. Because it certainly isn't that they didn't care, right? Which Aaron Rodgers took care to point out to everybody in the media and whoever the media is being listened to by. And, of course, they care. It's just, it's a clunker. They have clunkers before. It just had never happened in week one. You know, they're 13-3 seasons with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers hooked up together and the Packers organization riding the two of them together. 13-3 seasons, each had a clunker. Just didn't happen in week one. And then in week two, the Monday nighter last night, Lions come out with a 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive.
Look good.
Yes. And then we're playing those two deep safeties as the Manning brothers on their Manning cast on ESPN2 were talking about, basically daring Aaron Rodgers to throw deep into the teeth of coverage. And instead, they just kept on running the ball. And then when it came time to being in the red zone, flipped it to Aaron Jones as opposed to handing it to him. And that's the way they stayed in the game with a very game Lions team that took the lead to the locker room. And if the Packers season proves to be similar to the two previous ones, which is double-digit wins and a deep run in the playoffs, and I think it will, we'll look back on the first drive of the second half of Monday Night Football and say that's the moment. That's the moment when it started to come together, and that's the moment where the Packers looked at everybody and said, we spotted you 6 quarters, folks. Saints, congratulations. We tipped the cap to you. We're just going to keep winning games so you don't take that tie break out of your back pocket and send us to the Superdome in a playoff game in a divisional playoff round or a wild card playoff round should somehow the Packers not win their division. Even though I think the team that's best equipped to maybe surpass them is 0-2 in the Vikings. But congrats, Saints. You're not going to use that tiebreak on us. And Lions, man, you had a half to build that lead similar to what Jameis did last week. Didn't do it. Only led by 3. Because they come out of the locker room, the Packers, and they're sitting there on their own 24, 3rd-and-12, staring a 5-and-out to start the second half in the face, punting the ball back to the Lions with a 3-point lead for Detroit. And Aaron Rodgers fades back and throws one 50 yards to Devontae Adams, first down. And then a couple plays later, 3rd-and-6 from the Detroit 22, just outside the red zone, Rodgers on a proverbial frozen rope into the small window, or I'm going to now use the Gus Johnson phrase, puts it right in a shoebox in the hands of big Bobby Tonyan. Robert Tonyan, his tight end. Touchdown. Packers get the lead, their first lead of the season, and don't look back. Final score, 35-17, the Tonyan touchdown, the only non-Aaron Jones touchdown of the night. As the two Aarons hooked up together quite a bit. 4 touchdown passes for Rodgers. 3 of them to Aaron Jones, who scored one on the ground as well. Devontae Adams got his buck 21 on 9 targets. All good in the hood as the Packers defense began to take the ball away. Certainly helped when Jared Goff fumbled a snap of a wet ball with rain coming down. Also threw an interception, 2 turnovers and that LA fans find somewhat familiar, as well as Goff missing on only a couple passes in the first half. I mean, Goff is
playing pretty well.
Very good.
Yeah, I thought he played good.
But those 2 turnovers towards the end were kind of the backbreaker, record-setting night also for Aaron Rodgers, or milestone-setting night. He's now on the top 10 all-time passing list. Pushed John Elway out of the top 10.
Did not know that.
Take that, Duke.
You know who's number 9?
Favre?
Matt Ryan.
Oh, Matt Ryan. He's going to come and go get him. Favre's higher up on the list.
Yeah, he is. Favre joined the Manning cast last night.
Yes, he did. We'll discuss that later on. But for the moment, I just get that sneaky suspicion that the Packers spotted the NFL, the Saints and the Lions, respectively. 6 quarters. 1.5 halves. They gave it to the NFL, right? Or 2.5 halves, actually. 1.5 games. I'm not good at conversion. Never was. I feel good about your Packers fans. Rodgers looked like the MVP. That's a not nasty triplet right there. Aaron, and Devontae. That is a nasty, nasty triplet. Definitely one of the top triplets in the game, if not the top triplet in the game. Okay. Nasty. As you know, I think Kansas City's triplet is Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey.
If we were doing running back.
I understand. I know. So they're off to San Francisco. That's a kind of a blood sport game. As you know, San Francisco stood in the way of Green Bay a couple years ago. Handed them one of the clunkers in the regular season 2 years ago. Then beat them to gain the Super Bowl. To represent the NFC. So Green Bay looked like the team that can do some damage deep into the season last night. And we'll see if they can put it together. Lions are just going to, once again, take some sort of a moral victory. Hey, we let it have. Which is better than last game. All you got to do is now do that at the end of a second half and you're in good shape.
They just treated that first game like the 4th preseason game, really. It's, you know,
I just think that,
like that, right?
I don't know what happened.
That was weird.
I think it was just a general sense of 12's back, roll it out there. You know, they're not fully healthy. I guess it doesn't matter now either, right?
Yeah.
That it's just done, in the books, moved on. They came up with the big win, their only Monday night home game. And Rodgers, after the game, was feeling it. This is what do you have to say about all those that were saying the nay, the old naysayers. Here it is.
I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Okay, so now when we hung up from him, Overreaction Monday, our weekly segment, highly popular, certainly amongst our YouTube fans.
I would hope.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Closing in on 300,000.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aaron. We're counting clicks. We're counting clicks.
Push it over the top. Let's go.
We weren't part of that chorus.
I did not have a backup.
You did not.
I did not.
No.
I did not.
You did, I think, in week one, though.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did week one. Yeah.
I tell you what, Rich, a lot of guys, I watched some shows this morning. A lot of people on other shows really got caught up in their feelings after watching what Aaron just said. I was shocked.
What do you mean?
Well, I watched a few shows this morning, and after that, they aired that interview. They were like, "Well, who's he talking about? We didn't say that." Like, bro, like they got so butthurt.
No,
over,
a lot of people said it. A lot of people said that it looked like they didn't care. Look, if you've been around football long enough, you know these clunkers happen. Marshall Faulk, who came on last week, thought maybe there's some people in the locker room that needed to just kind of. It just needed a game to get cohesive with Rodgers being back, working through whatever feelings that they kind of had with him not being there. I'm like, but the reason why he wasn't there is because he was kind of flipping, you know what, to the management team, not to the players. Yeah. And it's just like it just takes time sometimes. It takes time, and sometimes these things happen. But that is 12, that's 17, and that's 33. I mean, that is a nasty group of people. And at some point, somebody's going to be the number two there. How about Randall Cobb coming up with a couple catches?
Yeah, big third down.
Yes, exactly. And that's why Rodgers wanted him there. That's why Rodgers said on our show that he feels like he's being heard a little bit more. Trust and hope. Yeah. Leading to something that was not, I wrote it down, something other than despair and frustration. Mm-hmm. Now that they've got that one, I wonder how many in bunches are going to come. That's my sense right now about the Packers. And then writ large, who's coming after Tampa? Now that we're turning pages, Rams, Bucks this weekend, right up the road from us, LFG. To use the phrase of TB12.
Oh, what a game. Rams are favored in that game.
Packers and Niners. On Sunday night football.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, baby.
Sunday night football, because if it's not the Rams in the NFC West, could it be the Niners that come for the Bucs? And if it's not the Niners that come for the Bucs, could it be the Packers who come for the Bucs? And if you want to come for the Bucs, you better have as many wins as possible. I would say because you want Tom Brady in your house.
But that doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter, as like, it was pointed out last year.
Doesn't matter.
Except this time, if there is a repeat, you know who's going back out there on fourth and goal. Okay?
I would hope so.
Yes, no, not hope so. It's going to happen.
I would hope so.
And then there's the Monday Nighter.
Some monster games coming up.
Dallas, home opener. Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Against the Eagles. Because if Dallas is going to come for the Bucs, they better win that division. They better win that division. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there's only one bye week up for grabs. You want to win as many games as possible. Week three is pretty big. Despite there being that old extra regular season game, there are some very important contests this week alone on who can come for the Bucs. And it starts in a couple of nights with the Panthers staring 3-0 right in their face. Against Davis Mills and the Texans.
That's official. Davis Mills will start.
Can the calls come from within the NFC South house for the Bucs? A lot of people are shaking their head. You're one of them.
Well, I'm shaking my head because Mike Tomlin told reporters today Ben Roethlisberger has a pectoral injury.
He doesn't look right. Well, that's going to be part of my four downs as well. Every single Tuesday, I give you four takes, three of them. Straight up from the heart, one from the hot take gut.
Well, you know, we
of the week that just ended. So that's coming up on this show. Chris Long, former Patriot and Eagles Super Bowl champion, now podcaster, I always love. He's just Always love talking to him. Smart, funny, informative. He's going to be joining us in hour number two. Mike Florio's coming up in about 5 minutes' time to talk about, I guess, about Big Ben and all the other rash of injuries that hit quarterbacks and what that all means. And look who's joining us in hour number three, a first for us.
Hey.
I do not believe he has been on this program.
I think you're right.
James G, a.k.a. Jimmy G, a.k.a. the dreamy Jimmy Garoppolo. Didn't tell Suze before leaving the house Jimmy G was on the phone because I just wanted to feel good about myself for just two more seconds.
She would have gave the,
Yeah. The Brad Pitt, Yeah, one of those. Jimmy G joining this program before that Sunday nighter against Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of funny because Jimmy Garoppolo
is handsome.
Hold on a second.
Oh.
He's in the role of Rodgers in the fact that there's been a drafted quarterback right behind him, right in front of his face, and he's still starting. And he's also been in the role of Jordan Love.
It's true.
A guy who's been drafted, and the 12 who's there kind of pissed about being around. But won't say so publicly at all. Now, Rodgers has, in fact, as we found out from Aaron Jones himself, been terrific to Jordan Love in terms of open door, helping out, filling with all sorts of knowledge if necessary. Many different ways to go with the Jimmy Garoppolo conversation later
this
on.
It's going to be great.
And they just happened to face the Packers on Sunday night, 2-0, San Francisco. Oh, baby. And you, 844-204-RICH. We'll take a break and we will get the latest on Carson Wentz and now Big Ben and Tua and so on and so forth. TJ Watt and Big Ben potentially being out for Pittsburgh. They're taking on Cincinnati this week. Week three has already begun. That's how we're rolling into our first break on this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Mike Florio when we come back. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Let's reset, if you will, for our new audience. Which show of national radio and television had you on in studio when no one else did, Aaron? Which show is that? Which show would what would be the name of that show? Would it be called the Rich Eisen Show, Aaron?
The Rich Eisen Show. When we did the 40 outside.
Yes, we did.
We was watching people do the 40.
We were watching people do the 40. I think you made them
Run
nervous.
Rich Run.
I think you were making them nervous, Aaron. I'll be honest with you, because I certainly wasn't. I'll tell you that. But you were here. You were here. And so which show was pretty much onto you as a force in the National Football League before any other show, coast to coast, would you say?
The Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Day one, before I was even really getting any love from anybody else. You've been rocking with me, so I really appreciate that.
And right back at you, Aaron Jones, what is your mindset going into 2020? Walk me through your list of goals, sir, please.
Just to be more explosive, be more productive, and bring the title back to Titletown. I think that's our whole team's goal. We fell just short last year in the NFC Championship, and we felt like we were close. We got an ugly taste in our mouth, so we just want to get back there and bring the title back home.
And bringing that title back home, what about your goals personally, though? I mean, you're a team player. There is no I in Aaron or Jones. I understand that. But what is your personal statistical potential goals? What have you written down for yourself? Have you written anything down?
I haven't written anything down yet, but I want to have a better year than I did last year. And like I said, be more productive, finish off those five, 6, 7 yard runs and turn those into big runs, and just be a consistent home run hitter for my team.
And your conversations with Aaron Rodgers, what are they about when you have them?
They're about everything. How we can improve, what he wants me to do on certain plays or certain routes, little screen, if it's a little screen pass, did I navigate it right, or and then just like communication from the O-line and what they're doing on certain plays, and then just life outside of football as well. He's a great leader, true leader, and he cares about everybody on his team.
And what are you better at now than you were at maybe when you were here personally? As a rising star in this league, trying to make your mark, what are you better at?
I would say being a receiver. I feel like I've improved on that tremendously since I've been there. And Coach LaFleur has allowed me to showcase that, and going to continue to work on that.
Aaron Jones, first running back to have 4 touchdowns on Monday Night Football since our buddy Marshall Faulk in 2000. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your phone calls here on the program. And joining us is a man who kicks everything off right here on NBC Sports on Peacock every single day with Pro Football Talk Live, the founder of Pro Football Talk himself, Mike Florio, back here on the program. How are you, sir?
Rich, doing great, pal. How are you?
I am doing fine. Rash of injuries at the quarterback position, including Mike Tomlin just moments ago, dropping the fact that Big Ben's got a pec injury.
Yeah, left side. He said it will affect Big Ben's ability to prepare for Sunday's game against the Bengals. So another one to keep an eye on. You know, we got through all of the preseason with a relatively clean sheet of quarterback injuries, and then week two, all hell breaks loose. And Big Ben, the biggest name that we now have to keep an eye on.
What is the future there? I mean, what's the over the steering wheel plan and discussion? I mean, there has to be. I mean, Kevin Colbert's one of the tops in the business at being your general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think is going on there?
We know it was a long 20 years for the Steelers between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger. They had good teams, but they never had that consistent year-in and year-out franchise quarterback. They had guys that looked like maybe they would be, like a Neil O'Donnell, a Cordell Stewart, but they never really got there until they went 11th overall in 2004 and got Ben Roethlisberger. So at some point, they're going to have to be ready to make that move, unless they can end up getting very lucky with Dwayne Haskins. They liked him in training camp. He has yet to supplant Mason Rudolph as number two, but he had been moving in the right direction. I think they were hoping for this year for him to have a chance to develop quietly behind the scenes, and then maybe he gets evaluated as a guy who could take over if Ben doesn't come back next year. Of course, they don't close the door on Ben coming back next year, but it has always felt like this is it for Ben. And we don't know that he's going to miss any time, but they have to be thinking about the future. They have to be, because it's far, far closer to the end than the beginning at this point for Ben.
Yeah, the first couple weeks, the offense doesn't appear to be any more crisp or dangerous than the offense that fell completely flat after starting 11-0, and that's despite drafting that kid, Najee Harris, an all-world kid from Alabama. And now here comes a Cincinnati team that had a shot at, you know, coming back on the Bears, if not for Joe Burrow's 3 straight pass attempts that went in the hands of Chicago's. This is no easy one.
And they knew that the offense was going to be a work in progress with Matt Canada in charge now. Juju Smith-Schuster told me before the season that they were going to have a lot of different formations and looks, and it was just a ton of different things. Ben Roethlisberger himself told reporters it's going to take some time to get to where they need to be. It is just kind of a weird vibe offensively. You got four new offensive linemen. You've got Najee Harris there, but you still have Ben Roethlisberger. It's like a hybrid of the past and the future jammed together in the hopes that they can make it work in the present. And it looked great week one. It looked good enough. It's not like the offense was spectacular, but when the defense is playing the way that it did against Buffalo, you don't need the offense to be one of the best in the league. It's just not going to be something that saves them defensively every week. You look at what the Raiders did, and they need to be worried about that happening again if the offense can't hold its own.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, host of Pro Football Talk on NBC Sports Net, as well as NBC Sports on Peacock, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Carson Wentz, not one but two sprained ankles, and now they're 0-2, taking on a Titans team that avoided that same fate with a Derrick Henry infused comeback win in Seattle. So this is a nasty set of facts and circumstances for Indianapolis. Is there the plan is to just throw the kid Eason out there and hope for the best?
Eason was the clear-cut replacement for Wentz when Wentz got injured and had the foot surgery in the preseason. But then Eason quickly lost ground to Sam Ehlinger. Ehlinger is recovering from a knee injury, so it's Eason who came in and promptly threw an interception on Sunday with the game still undecided against the Rams. And with Wentz, Rich, I've been trying to understand exactly what the issue is and why he gets injured so often. And I think what it comes down to is plain and simple. He holds onto the ball too long trying to make something happen. He got dragged down by Aaron Donald. Anybody who gets dragged down by Aaron Donald is going to risk spraining an ankle under the weight of Aaron Donald's body. You're not going to see Tom Brady at SoFi Stadium this Sunday getting dragged down by Aaron Donald. He's going to see Donald coming, and he's going to get rid of the ball, or he's going to hit the deck before he finds himself in Aaron Donald's clutches. That's the difference. And I think that's why Carson Wentz gets injured so often. He doesn't know when to call it a day and save it for the next play and ensure he's going to be available. That's something Drew Brees stressed. We did a digital video after halftime of the Week 1 game involving the Rams and the Bears, and he made that point. And it's such an important point. It's so easy. But people lose sight of it when they watch the game and they admire when the quarterback drops his shoulder and drives through this and holds onto the ball. Every one of those moments where you have contact with a defensive player and the quarterback is a chance to get injured. You got to minimize those. Wentz maximizes those, to his credit, but there's a fine line between courage and stupidity, and he's on the wrong side of it far too often.
Isn't it amazing that, you know, leaping for an end zone in the Los Angeles Coliseum a couple years ago in an MVP campaign and getting your knee blown up because Aaron Donald hits it didn't sink in enough for Carson Wentz to see Aaron Donald again?
I think some guys can't turn it off. I think that's what it comes down to when you get out there, whether it's your throwing motion, whether it's the way you go through your reads, whatever it is that you're trying to do, once you get out there and it's real, the competitive instinct takes over. And so many people treat that like a badge of honor. It really does become a problem if it's infringing on your ability to be available to your team. It's not heroic. It is idiotic if you allow yourself to constantly be in a position where you get yourself injured. That's where Wentz needs to rein himself in, and I don't know that it can be coached out of him.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Took 2 weeks for the reality to just be staring everyone in the face, despite all the signs and the writing on the wall, that there is no scenario under which the Houston Texans would start Deshaun Watson this year. 0.0, full Blutarski on that front, as Tyrod Taylor, God bless him. I mean, what a awful set of circumstances always seems to befall this man when he has opportunities. Looks like a hamstring injury is going to keep him out for the, you know, foreseeable future. And I know they got this kid Davis Mills that they drafted, but here's a team that kind of looks really stout on certain areas when we thought they would just be completely barren of talent and competition. Do you think there's anybody there saying, why not Deshaun Watson? Why not Deshaun Watson?
You know, Rich, one thing that I've learned, and it only took me 20 years to figure this out, when I speak very candidly about issues with a given team, fans get upset. Fans of that team get upset.
Yes.
In large part because they don't like someone saying out loud the thing that they are privately concerned about. But I view myself as kind of an advocate of whatever fan base I'm happening to comment on their team at that given time. And if I'm a Texans fan, I'm wondering, what in the hell are we doing? We're paying this guy $10.5 million. How does it get to this point that he's not playing for us? Why aren't you telling him you're under contract? You're playing for us.
Right.
And I understand that they don't want to risk him getting injured and infringe and impair their ability to get maximum picks either now or after the season. I get all that. And, hey, there's a chance the NFL will say, hold on. No, we don't have to make a decision about whether or not to put him on paid leave as long as you're paying him to not play. But if you're going to play him, then we got to do something. That's part of it, too. But I think it just comes down to he wants out. They're willing to let him go. They don't want him to play. They don't want him to get injured. And he's just off the table. And if I was a Texans fan who was paying good money for tickets to those games or spending my time that I could otherwise spend doing other things watching those games and giving a crap about that team, I would be livid that it got to this point. Regardless of who's to blame now, the fact that it got to this point is a tragedy for the Houston Texans, and it's made evident by the fact that they're going from Tyrod Taylor to Davis Mills or Mills Davis. I think it's Davis Mills. There are so many quarterbacks in the NFL at the backup level where you can change first name, last name. I think we've done this bit before. But it's true. Mills Davis starting Thursday night.
Well, and it's possible that Driscoll Jeff gets in, you know, because you know, and that's the question. Like, so do you think Watson would say no? Like, if they went to him and said, look, we know what's going on here. It is such an odd situation, awkward, whatever adjective you want to use, unprecedented, that somebody as generationally talented as Watson is also at the same time untradeable and potentially unplayable. Like, this is a Rubik's Cube that we've never seen before, Mike. But
you're right.
Like, they, what about going to him and saying, I know you don't want to play for us anymore, and we kind of don't want to play it, but do you see what we did to the Jaguars in week one? Do you see what we kind of are cooking here? Like, get on board, right?
And the way the dominoes fall, if they do something like that, it gets ugly very quickly. But they could. If they want to be distracted by it, and we talk about distractions all the time, some are real, some are fake. This would be real. If all of a sudden they decide they're going to go to Deshaun and say, we want you to show up and practice, and we want you to really try. We don't want you to half-ass it. We want you to show up and earn the money that we're paying you. And then they're watching him. They're studying him. Is he working hard enough? Is he doing everything that he needs to do? Is he really trying? You know, it's easy if he says no, then you can fine him, suspend him for conduct detrimental to the team. That's easy. The hard part is identifying whether or not he's just going through the motions. And that's the thing with a quarterback. And this may be why they're doing what they're doing. For all the other positions, you can draw a hard line and say, hey, get your butt to work. But for a quarterback, you need him to be so much more than just the guy that takes the snap and hands off the ball and throws the passes. He's the guy who's the leader of the team, sets the tone, shows up early, stays late, holds people accountable, brings the locker room together. You want, and that's why I'm a firm believer that quarterbacks need to have more of a voice in the overall structure of the team than they get, because they're expected to act like bosses on the shop floor. And if you have a quarterback who's committed to doing the bare minimum, I don't think that's good for anybody. And that may be why, combined with we don't want him to get injured and we don't want to have the NFL say he's on paid leave and whatever other concern they have, I think that's why they aren't going to him and saying, time for you to earn your money. But if I'm a Texans fan, good luck getting my money if you're willing to give $10.5 million of it away to one of the best quarterbacks in football, that you allowed this to get to the point where he doesn't want to play for you and you don't want him to play for you, regardless of how we got here. This had its origins in the dysfunction that was pervasive in the Texans organization. Credit to them to get veteran players who are kind of wiping that stink away, but it was that stink from last year that has them in the mess they're in now.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more quarterback scenarios I want to talk with you about. First one, Aaron Rodgers, because you just mentioned quarterbacks should get more say, and clearly that is what was at play with Aaron Rodgers from draft day and before and after until appearance day at training camp. I had him on the show yesterday, and I asked him specific, like, what change did you get that's made you say, okay, I'll come back? And he basically said it was just trust and hope, that it's nothing you could stamp on a piece of paper. Did he get, best on your knowledge, an agreement from the Packers that we'll trade you if things don't go the way for either one of us this year. Did he get that assurance?
Best you can hear or tell? I don't know that he did. And Rich, you know, there's a belief out there that he got that assurance in this most recent offseason. Mm-hmm. And the fuse that ultimately was lit was when they said to him, oh, no, we're not going to trade you, even though we said we would trade you after 2020. And that is the real cause of everything going off the rails in the offseason. So I wouldn't believe anything that the Packers told me verbally at this point, because they already told me, if what I've heard and others have heard is true, that the Packers had promised him they would trade him after 2020. And then apparently Matt LaFleur caught wind of it and said, wait a minute, Jordan Love's not ready, we can't do this. And I don't know that that was the catalyst to renege, but so I'd want anything and everything in writing before I'd trust it. And who knows where this is all going to go. And, you know, Rich, Sims and I were talking about this earlier today with the Packers, and this falls into the category of Packers fans get pissed when someone points this out. But if I'm a Packers fan, I look at this and I say, this damn corporate structure does me no favors as a fan. You had Jerry Jones on the game day morning show the other day.
Yes.
And I understand there's a potential drawback to having a Jerry Jones, a Daniel Snyder, a single person who can be that driving force behind an obsession to win a Super Bowl. Corporate structure, I don't know. Where is the obsession? Where is that one person with that overriding force of personality who will say, hey, you know what? We got close this year, but we weren't good enough. Here are the areas we need to identify. Just like the Chiefs, what'd they do? Their offensive line stunk. What'd they do? They spent a ton of money on their offensive line. They took advantage of opportunities to improve their defense. In Green Bay, I feel like they're content to be in the general vicinity of the porch and hope that once every 10 to 15 years, they'll stumble up onto the welcome mat and kick in the door, whereas you've got these other teams with owners like Jerry Jones who are obsessed to bang on the door each and every year. And I think that's the fundamental cause of Aaron Rodgers' concern, because the reason they're in the vicinity every year is him. Look around him. I mean, they got some good players, but what do they do every year other than draft and develop? What do? They don't go out and identify guys who could come in and make a difference right now. Big-name players, key players. That just has been not a part of the culture there, and I think the corporate structure has something to do with it.
Mike Florio bringing it today here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last one. Interpret for me what happened in Chicago yesterday, where Brad Biggs, who covers the Bears, asks Matt Nagy if Dalton is healthy, is he your starter? And he says he doesn't want to get into scheme. Biggs pushes back, saying that's not scheme. And, you know, Nagy with his usual smile goes, of course it's scheme. And I understand he would say that it is scheme, because the game plan with Dalton and Fields are completely different. You don't want to telegraph anything to the Browns. But then a PR representative comes back in the room. Biggs tweets out that the missive, the note, the message from Bears PR is Dalton is the starter if he's healthy. That's the answer. What is happening? Like, what is going on with Fields not getting the start? It's definitely Dalton if he's healthy. What is the push-pull here?
This is all part of that broader effort by the Bears to delay the launch of the Justin Fields career until they believe he's ready. It's about making sure he's ready, not getting him out there prematurely and hurting his ability to be as good as he can be next year. I think the deal that necessarily was done when they traded up and gave up next year's first-round pick to get Justin Fields is that everyone's getting judged based on what Fields does next year. So anything that happens this year is about making sure that you maximize the performance level of Justin Fields next year. And I'm not saying they're treating this like a redshirt year, scholarship year, whatever, but it would be beyond ludicrous for the Bears to fire Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, and or Ted Phillips after this season when you've made the investment in Justin Fields. So next year is when everyone's on the clock with whether or not Fields is any good. So if they think that not putting him in a situation where he has, you know, four interceptions in 35 minutes or getting beaten around behind an offensive line that maybe isn't as good as it needs to be, and they'd rather defer as much of it to next year as possible, that's where it's coming from. But Rich, this Andy Dalton injury gives them a chance to just kind of give him a test drive. And if Justin Fields fails, you don't have to say he was benched. You just say Andy Dalton's healthy. And when's Andy Dalton healthy? He's healthy whenever Justin Fields is deemed to be not good enough to get it done. It's perfect. It's falling right into their laps if they choose to play it that way.
I just don't understand why the PR aspect of it isn't, you know, I guess that it does matter, you know, what you're saying and how you're terming it. Either the kid is ready to start or not. The kid went to the Ohio State, and threw the entire damn route tree on Clemson in front of the whole country to make the national championship game, for crying out loud. You know, I'm mystified, you know. I am just a little bit confused as to why the Bears are not just going to go and throw them in and take the lumps that the Jets, the Jaguars are clearly taking right now, that the Patriots are once again immune to with their quarterback. I kind of don't get it, Mike. I'll be honest with you.
Big Cat has said from time to time, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. And that may just be the ultimate explanation at the end of the day. But they've got this guy that they believed in, they traded up for, and there's that hesitation to go all in. And I really do think it's about being careful now, because next year is when they really want to get the absolute most out of Justin Fields.
I asked the poll question of Mike before we send him on to the rest of his Tuesday, Chris.
Yeah, Mike, out the door. Which 0-2 team do you still have faith in? Colts, Falcons, Giants, Vikings?
Probably the Vikings, because they could easily be 2-0. You know, you got John Gruden feeling good about the Raiders being 2-0, they easily could be 0-2. It just shows you how thin the margin is on so many of these games. And with 17 of them now, to go through one of those close, heart-wrenching games, win or lose, you got to start all over again and do it the next week. It really is an amazing grind. And the challenge for the 0-2 teams, especially the ones who could have won either or both games, forget about those games. Don't let that 0-2 become 0-3. Simply because you're feeling down in the mouth because you're 0-2.
Mike, appreciate it. We'll see you on Pro Football Talk in the morning. And then, of course, anybody who wants his new book that comes out in March called Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works, parenthetically, and doesn't, go pre-order it right now where all books can be pre-ordered. Mike, thanks for the time. Appreciate it, Rich. Right back at you, man. You got it. That's Mike Florio bringing it.
I like it.
Yeah, we're not seeing Deshaun Watson. There's no chance. There is no scenario.
Yeah, zero.
Unless Davis Mills gets hurt and Driscoll is in there and he gets hurt. And then it's just like, you're out of quarterbacks. Could you imagine? You're out of quarterbacks. Well, you got nothing. What, you're going to sign Cam from his couch? You know what I mean? Like, no. And I know it's crazy that two quarterbacks don't get hurt in the same game. Jets happened to Jets a couple years ago.
Happened in any given Sunday. That's
nicely
how
done.
Louis Beeman got in the game. David Culley said on Sunday, if the backup had gone, Mark Ingram was going to run Wildcat.
It's just okay. Okay, that's nuts.
Yeah, well,
844-204 Rich number to dial right here on the program. We'll take your phone calls and set up a big time story out of Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is making his stand.
Oh boy.
A Woj bomb to wake us up on this football post week two Tuesday. Right next on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband
and co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So, as you know, we moved studios, NFL Network, to to the new spot.
I heard that.
I haven't had an office in a long time because, you know, I used to be there every day and had an office.
We had space.
Well, no, I had an actual office.
No, I know. I'm saying. Yeah.
And then I moved, and then I moved, and they moved me to some other spot, and then we ran out of space. Again, like, the places, we took over every nook and cranny of that place.
Got outgrown.
And so, eventually, It was one of those deals where, like, hey, your office, you're not really using it anymore. We need it. Is that okay? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, we're going to pack you up. Well, I'm like, all right. And they stuck all my stuff in three boxes that I have not seen until today when they sent it to here. They
showed the stuff that was out there last night.
The boxes we found.
As we were leaving, there are these three giant boxes.
Throughout the next few days, I'm just going to show you stuff that was in my box. It's like an NFL time capsule from the late aughts.
Like show and tell. There
you
go.
I figured it was stuff that you had from Tokyo Gold that you had shipped.
James Laurinaitis bobblehead doll from the Rams. Should I open it up?
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably sell it on eBay, Rich.
I don't know. Do you think so?
That's it.
It's unopened. It's taped up and everything.
50% went down right now.
Hold on. Oh, it's so small. I can't believe this.
Oh, that's a mini bobblehead.
Poor James. A little mini bobblehead.
That's cool. Look at that.
Look at that.
Doesn't even bobble because it's...
Oh, it's got to be over there. There you go.
There you go. Oh, wait. No. The face mask came off it, too.
Oh,
Rich. Here's another one. Ready for this? Here's a Sam Bradford bobblehead.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Dude, don't open these.
Open that, Rich.
We can sell these.
No, we can put these on.
You ain't nobody spending no hard-earned cash on
Sam
Darnold.
Bradford bobblehead?
You'd be surprised. What year is that, Rich? What year is that?
I have no earthly idea.
But for those who don't know, James Laurinaitis, his dad.
Oh, he's a big wrestler.
Yeah.
Animal.
The late World War Animal.
Yeah, rest in peace, right? His dad passed just recently, right? There you go. Now, this is something you're going to lose your minds about this.
Oh, what do you got?
This is, you're going to love this. An unopened Upper Deck 2000.
Let me get that. Let me get that.
By the way.
Hold on.
How much is this worth?
What is it?
It's unopened. 2001.
2011?
Upper Deck. It says football. There's no NFL on it. It's just like every logo's gone. Oh, it's a rookie Letterman signature per box.
Oh, yeah.
I almost took that yesterday.
We should just open this on the air.
Do it. Yeah.
How much do you think this is worth?
Like $20, and I'll give it to you right now.
Yeah, until you find like a Cam Newton card in there. And
I'll
see
give
you later.
21.
2011?
No. Yeah, man.
11.
2011, that was when Cam Newton got drafted.
I feel like we should open this on the air.
Yeah, I'm with these guys.
Well, now I got to clean up my desk because they're coming back. And whatever.
You got to do them Peacock's like they it. Do
Here we
them,
go.
Like
the... There you go. Content, baby, content.
It's king.
I love it.
I'm like seeing this stuff. I'm seeing photographs I haven't seen in like 12 years and stuff. Checks I didn't cash. It's crazy. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, opening up stuff that was in a box sent to me from NFL Network from my office that got boxed up. Had to be about 10 years ago.
So really? That stuff just sat in storage for 10 years?
Yeah. Because again, the stuff, again, we just moved spaces in NFL Network and they just packed up an office of mine years ago because I haven't been there day to day since 2011.
Been a while.
Okay. Yeah, so then I would use the space every now and then to come in. We'd have a meeting on Saturday. I'd write my show in the office. And after a while, just more and more people would be packed into the same small space. I got a call from NFL Network saying, hey, you know, you're not using the office. We could really use the space. And I'm like, okay, I kind of don't have time to come clear it out. They're like, don't worry, we'll do it for you.
They were more than happy.
Wasn't the Goodfellas poster, your Goodfellas poster was on your wall one.
Well, but yes,
in
right.
The old
so
days,
there
I
are things that I then brought from the NFL Network office to here.
That's right.
Because the number of things that are here and the number of things that are coming here are all born out of Susie, my wife, saying to me, you know where that would look good?
Anywhere but
not
here.
Not here.
I love the fact that Susie did that.
Not
you know
here.
Where that would look good? Away from here.
Anywhere
not
but my house.
Our home. That would look great in your studio. Like, I get that a lot. And I'm kind of like, do you really think it would look great in the studio or you just don't want it here? So the Rich Eisen Show studio is in many ways a storage unit for me. And we're making good use of it.
We are.
Yes.
There's a 2001 Upper Deck football set that's unopened. It's totally wrapped in cellophane. It's a little crushed.
Those are packs. We got to open
these.
We have to open them.
I don't even know what's going to be in there.
It's doing the break.
Ben Simmons says he doesn't want to be in Philadelphia anymore.
I mean, that's what he says, yeah.
Can't blame him. Can you? Can you blame him?
Wait. You saying can't blame him like the organization did him dirty or something?
No.
The organization did everything right by Ben Simmons. They paid him. They made him the number one draft pick.
It's not the organization. It's the fan base that has just basically said, get him out of here. Yeah, you agreed after he gave up the bunny in the playoffs.
Yeah, but
that that was an indication he was no longer a viable athlete for Philadelphia sports. Yes, you agreed to that.
But so to say that he's had enough, it would make it seem like all these transgressions were happened to Ben, and now he's just like, I've had enough. No, you basically ushered yourself out the door by that one play. That one play turned an entire fan base. It wasn't even just the one play. It was the fact that I think he had 8 total points in the entire series.
Oh, he had a dreadful series. But it was all boiled down to one. It was the microcosm of his problems.
Yeah, I mean, that was the cherry on top was that play.
Not can't shoot, won't shoot.
Won't shoot.
He went from can't shoot to won't shoot, which is where it went from, well, we're still with you because we'll watch you grow, to get out.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm not coming back. Like Woj saying, he's not reporting for training camp next week, and he intends to never play another game for the franchise. Hasn't spoken to the team since a late August meeting when he told the Sixers, this is what's up. And the Sixers haven't gotten the proper offer for him in their minds because it's obvious it's over. And now he's basically admitting that it's over. And I can't, that's what I'm saying. I can't blame him. Except for the fact, if he does want out, he should show up and make it seem like he wants to be there.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want out, you are basically tying management's hands to get you out.
And you're devaluing yourself by coming out and making this stand.
Correct.
But you keep saying you don't blame him. It still gives the impression to me like he was wronged and he finally had enough. He was never wronged. He brought this upon himself. So I don't know. Is it like his management, his agency team that want to get him to LA, which I don't think the Lakers can
fit
anyone
question.
Else on their team at this point.
It's a fascinating conversation. I know, I'm serious. Because if you, let's just say, we don't have a contract together. Mm-hmm. You don't have a contract to be here. I love you. I never want you to not be here. But let's just say we had a contract.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you to be here anymore. Okay? And every time you came to walk here, this campus that's kind of been barren here at AT&T since the pandemic began, was filled with people who just said, you suck, as you're coming to work. And as you're attempting to speak into this microphone, they start saying, talk more about Ashton. You know? What's in your big-ass grab bag, TJ?
You always gotta bring him
up.
You
know what I mean? Like, no. Like, it's... And you are plying your craft as you see fit, and people are all over you. I'm trying to come up with some analogy.
So then I would be like, what did I say or do to turn
over
you?
Or you'd be like, there's 29 other shows. I'll ply my craft for any of the 29 more. I'm out of here. And as a matter of fact, to make sure you know I'm out of here, I'm not showing up for work tomorrow. And if I wanted you out as well, and I wanted you to be happy, and I wanted me to be happy because I want equal value for you, I would say you got to show up. Make it look like you want to be here.
That makes sense.
For as long as possible. But I wouldn't blame you for wanting to get the hell out of here. You know what I'm saying? That was over. I mean, that was over. I can't remember a moment where somebody obliterated their viability as an athlete in the town, right? Maybe, that they were playing in, maybe, and drafted by. I don't recall
Carlos Beltran not swinging that
maybe
that third
that's a good
strike.
One. That's
that was
a good one.
One. But even he kind of got forgotten because they hired him as a manager. So that it took
for as long as the Super League lasted. Belichick was the HC of the NYJ.
Yeah, it hurt his trade value. And to think, Brockman, that I sat here months ago and you said, would you trade him for Harden? And I said, nah. Like, wow, really?
Yeah. Well, we'll discuss more of this.
That's why I'm not in charge.
Because it's only just beginning now, man. It's beginning to get hot. Hour number two, Chris Long, who knows about plying his craft in the city of Philadelphia. He's going to join us when we come back.
All right, worst.
Maybe asking him about this wouldn't be bad either. Let me text him, make sure he's aware.
Worst basketball take. TJ not trading Simmons for Harden or Rich not wanting to blow up the Heat for Giannis.
I didn't.
Oh, no, let me answer that.
Yeah, that's, easy. That's that. An easy one.
Let me answer that. Let me answer that. Let me answer that. Guilty as charged. there is a very high bar that's really a low bar. And I will flat out admit, there will never be a worse NBA take in this facility than the one of me saying, I'm not trading Tyler Hero. I'm not trading. I'm not breaking up the,
like bam, the and Heat. Draft
I'm not breaking up the Miami Heat bubble for Giannis Antetokounmpo. There isn't going to be anywhere remotely close to a worse NBA take
I
than
that.
I
will say, though, you really believed it at the time.
You did.
Like, you were trying to convince us every day. Like, and Chris, no, what do you mean? Like, they made the finals.
That was like a week-long thing, too.
More than weeks. It was weeks, plural. Week,
yeah.
I was bringing it up to other analysts and guests on the show, trying to get them on my side. Every one of them
was just like
treated what? Like I was trying to nickname him the Mattrel.
Like what?
Well, they're all like, "What do you like?" Richard Jefferson was the best one. He's like, "No, what?
Like what?
You're crazy."
And when you first happened, it was like I was still kind of new here, right? So you had that take, and I'm sitting here going, no, in my mind, I'm like, should you say something? Don't say anything. And I was like, no, I got to say something. And I remember just going, Rich, but, really?
But the one that he brought up, I mean, funny. Yeah, but it's close. It's
well,
in the area
no,
code.
Because mine was well, just like a day-long conversation.
No, this is in the area
his
code.
His was like, he said, weeks of pounding the table. Like,
well, also,
no.
He's in an area code, not in the zip code. Zip code's a little smaller than the area code.
Also, it seems like Daryl didn't want to do that either.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
But, you know.
And then there's that whole Kyrie is like, he'll retire if the Nets get rid of him. He'll just
what
step
is
up.
That?
He'll just, well, why does he, if you.
No, I know, but where did that even come from?
Well, like, I mean, the Nets are his childhood team, Chris.
You're right.
Don't Sorry. Forget that. Sorry. That kid grew up yeah. loving Brendan Byrne and the arena named
oh,
after him.
Yeah.
Hey, don't discount his love for Drazen Petrovic.
Brendan Byrne arena.
Harry Kittles.
Come on, guys.
Keith Van Horn all day.
Man loves his team.
You're right. My bad.